Secret UN war crime files from the Second World War have confirmed what's long been suspected, that the Allied forces knew about the Holocaust years before the concentration camps were discovered. Until now, it's widely been believed that Britain only learned of the true extent of the Holocaust after the Allied forces captured and liberated the camps in 1945. But the files of the UN War Crime Commission show that the US, UK and Soviet governments knew that millions of Jews had been killed or were in danger of being killed, and that they were preparing war crime charges against the Nazis as early as 1942. Tomorrow, London's Wiener Library will open the files to the public for the first time. Author Dan Plesch has seen the documents as part of research for his book, Human Rights After Hitler. He's currently in London. Dan Plesch, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Welcome. Well, I managed to move myself to Washington, D.C. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. Good morning, Australia.
Doesn't matter where you are. Wherever you are, it's morning here and it's nighttime there, roughly, or afternoon. Dan, these UN War Crime Commission documents, they'll be released tomorrow. They date back to 1943, I understand. What do they show about what the Allied forces, and therefore the governments, knew about the concentration camps?
Well, there's two things here, and things have got slightly mixed up, but in the public domain, but ignored by scholars, has been the fact that at the end of 1942, all the Allies, the Soviet Union, and all the occupied countries, governments in London, actually publicly denounced the extermination of the Jews of Europe. And there was a huge deal in the British Parliament. It was broadcast on the BBC in 23 languages. The Nazis always said they were going to kill the Jews. They are killing all the Jews, and they're doing it in Poland. So that hasn't been secret, and why it's been overlooked, frankly, is beyond me. It's been there in documents people haven't looked at. What has been secret is from the beginning of 44, that is before D-Day, when the Nazis and the Japanese are running riot still, that they start a process of criminal prosecutions, not only against the Nazis, but also against the Japanese, and the Chinese set up an international body in Chongqing to draw up thousands of war crimes charges against the Japanese. And by the end of the war, Australia, Britain and the US are also charging the Japanese for all sorts of war crimes, interestingly, including water torture, all over the Pacific. And in Europe, these charges from the beginning include charges against Hitler and charges against the Nazis for the death camps. And nobody has any clue that that was going on. Nobody has any clue that the Allies were developing charges about the death camps while they were still running and while the Nazis were still running Europe.
Which brings the obvious question is, if they knew it to the extent, not just, as you say, that in 1942, in the actual British Parliament, the whole issue of extermination of the Jewish people was raised publicly, but in 1944 there are actually war crime charges being drawn up, why the Allied forces didn't do something about this?
Well, one answer is the priority was winning, and you can understand that, because, you know, it's very easy to say the war was won now. It didn't look that way at the time. But nevertheless, I think more could have been done through neutral countries, countries not controlled by the Nazis. But tragically, large parts of the British establishment and the American establishment in particular just didn't care. And there's a horrible statement by one of Churchill's ministers, not long after the statement, in fact, when he says, "Oh, I'm terribly sorry, we can't take any more refugees. The British Empire is full. East Africa is full. We haven't got any food to take more refugees." Well, this is, of course, just desperate nonsense. So there's anti-Semitism and, you know, war prioritization are, I think, the reasons. And the reasons why, to be frank, there was an interagency battle between different parts of the governments. And in the end, those parts of particularly the American government who didn't want any war crimes processes won out. And with Senator McCarthy and his ilk in power, the whole thing was shut down and the Nazis let out of jail.
So, 2 points there. Let me just stay with the why the liberation didn't occur. Do the documents that are going to be revealed publicly tomorrow, do they give any clues beyond the obvious surmising, as you can say, that people are engaged with war and there's anti-Semitism? Are there any documentation as to why the decisions about why strategic decisions weren't made to try and liberate the camps?
No, because these are legal documents discussing whether or not to charge people.
Right.
And stacks of, you know, we don't need any more nails in the coffin of Holocaust denial, but if you want any more evidence, this is a hardware store of nails to hammer into that.
I'll come back to that in a moment about the Holocaust denial, but the other point you were making about the Americans pretty, you know, concerned not to allow prosecution for war crimes to go too far. Is this, tell me about that American doctrine, if you like.
Well, I wouldn't say it's doctrine. It's an argument within the American government, which loses out in the beginning. Roosevelt's in power, and his hero ambassador, Pell, is in London doing what he can with the other allies. But in the State Department, they don't want to have anything to do with it, slow it down. And with a change of administration, you know, there's a much more a change of policy to rebuilding Germany and countering communism,
yeah.
And that that drives the policy.
So communism trumped Holocaust punishment, so to speak.
Yes. So you've got to say, why does anti-communism mean that you have to let out people who ran death camps?
And what's the answer to that in your view?
Well, I think it's because there isn't a connection, except that you don't care about the extermination.
You were instrumental in trying, in helping to persuade diplomats, including the former US ambassador at the UN, Samantha Power, to release this secret material. Was your motivation in making that public to provide this body of evidence as a counterweight against Holocaust denial? Is that what was driving you?
Well, I didn't have any personal contact with Ambassador Power, but I think my motivation is simply that it's very obvious that there's a much, much bigger foundation for human rights today and war crimes policies today than anyone realizes. It isn't just about a few trials at Nuremberg and Tokyo. It's a much, much broader and deeper process at the time. And the fact that Allied soldiers were, you know, keen on collecting evidence about war crimes as well as defeating the enemy, and that people in the resistance were keen on collecting evidence. People who came out of Japanese camps were keen, you know, to have trials, not simply just to shoot all the Japanese. But there's a real sense that of fighting for justice and human rights, not at the rhetorical level, but at the level of ordinary troops and resistance fighters. And I think that's important when we look at conflicts today, and where we, you know, we get continually told, oh, well, the other side are evil, so we have to behave in an evil way as well. And I think that this whole World War II experience gives the lie to that.
So you have already seen many of these documents, I understand, Dan. What do you think will be the great value, the great worth that will come from this
body of evidence? Well, I hope, maybe nothing. I think there are two things I would hope for. One is to reinforce prosecutions of war criminals today, low-level perpetrators, and to use the practical and economical system and fair system that they used at the time. And the other, frankly, is one which I didn't expect when writing the book. You know, we now have a man in the White House, one of whose role models is indeed Senator McCarthy. And, you know, it was Senator McCarthy who was at the front of shutting this process down and having it, you know, erased from our memories for 70 years. You don't have to look, you know, at something like The Handmaid's Tale to think about, you know, some future fiction of what's at risk. We have an example of what's been eradicated from our own history and practice by the impact of, you know, McCarthyite conservatism back in the late 40s and 50s. And that should be a pretty chilling warning to us about it as we look at contemporary debates.
Choosing which history to go with. Dan Plesh, thank you very much for joining us.
Cheerio, my pleasure.
Dan Plesh is a British author. He's had access to this cache of secret UN war crime Holocaust documents for some time. The Wiener Library in London will open them to the public for the first time tomorrow. Dan's book is called Human Rights After Hitler, The Lost History of Prosecuting Axis War Crimes.